That the first one was the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about that, what that means. That John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." He didn't say he loved Baptists or Catholic or Methodist or some Muslims or whoever. God says, "So loved the world." Somebody said on Facebook, he wasn't born on the 25th. I says, the date we commemorate it on is not important. The important part is that he came. You know, Brother Glenn asked me about 5 weeks ago to bring the message today. You know, I've been wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with it. And my mind is settled on salvation. Why, first off, do you need salvation? Why do I need the Son of God to come down out of heaven, come as a man, live for 33 years, and die on the cross of Calvary, and raise again the third day? Why do I need that? Couldn't God just say, well, you're saved, go ahead? No, no. God is a just God. He's got his rules and regulations. He's got his way of doing things. And he said there had to be a blood sacrifice. If you go back and read the Old Testament, all the people that gathered together, when they sinned a sin, they had to get the blood of a bull, the blood of a lamb, or the blood of a goat. And if they were dirt poor, they got turtle doves to atone for the sin. God only had one rule when he created man. He only had one thing that he says, thou shalt not do. And it was so simple. He says, thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge. You know, man had a perfect place to live in the Bible. He had the most beautiful garden you'd ever want to see. How many in here loves to walk through a garden of flowers where all the buds are blooming and you can smell the different odors and you can see the colors and everything that God created? That is nothing compared to what the Garden of Eden was. It was a perfect place. The flowers never died. The trees never lost their leaves. You could walk around and pet the animals. Could you imagine walking up to a lion that stood this tall and then rubbing behind his ears? You could do that in the Garden of Eden. God created a perfect place. But Satan came in and he says, Eve, did God not tell you that thou shalt not die if they eat? If you eat of the tree of knowledge, a lie is what got people lost. And when Eve and Adam ate of that tree, God said, thou shalt surely die. And man has been dying from that moment forth. The Bible also tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There has never been a perfect man except Jesus Christ to live in this world. We all have sinned. We all need a Savior. That Savior had to come down, had to leave the beautiful place called heaven, a perfect place to live in, where joy abounds and you have need and nothing. There's no sickness. You know, we've been going through this year of COVID-19, and people are sick everywhere. I had a brother and a sister-in-law that almost died, I believe, from COVID-19. They were in the hospital. You see people today running up down the street, put your mask on, you're going to kill us. Brother, we've been dying for 6,000 years or more. I keep telling my family, I refuse to live in fear and cower in a corner. Jesus Christ says, fear not. I am with you. I will be with you until the ends of the earth. Pray for me so that I can bring this out. This is not what I wanted, but this is where God's leading. And you know what? I've learned a long time ago, when God says go to the left, you better go to the left. He says, you go to the right, you better go to the right, because you're going to make a fool of yourself if you don't. I have a question. also learned a long time ago that God don't give you a message. God doesn't fill his preachers' hearts with message for no reason whatsoever. There is somebody here that needs salvation. That is a most important job of a church. Yes, we're supposed to take care of the poor. We're supposed to feed the hungry and those that are homeless. The widows and the orphans we're to take care of. But the church's first and foremost job is to win the lost. If a church fails to do that, and I'm not talking about this building. This building is just where we meet God at. I'm talking about us, the born-again people of God. We are the church. Let me ask the question. Do you really know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been to the cross of Calvary? Have you pleaded for salvation? Have you repented of your sins? Have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? That's the key to salvation. People say, well, I believe Jesus came and died, but what they believe is here. What they believe is in the head. You got to believe with all your heart, all your might, and all your strength that Jesus Christ came to die that I might have eternal life. There is nothing more important in your life than Jesus Christ. He has walked with me through death of loved ones. He has walked with me through sickness. He has walked with me through many troubles. And God only knows he walked with me in the last year. I have been contemplating shooting myself. And I says, no, God, no, God, it's you. I want to lean on you. I get so dejected, but every time I look up to my God in my heaven, every time I will give my will over to him, things get better and things get brighter. I get out in my truck and I drive, and there's been a lot of times that Jesus Christ has been driving a truck because I wasn't. Thank God he takes care of us. But do you know, have you that assurance that when you die, you will go to heaven? Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say you'll get rest from working. He doesn't say you'll get rest from being a Baptist. He doesn't say rest because you work your life and you give all your money. He says, come unto me, throw the world down. Discard your riches, your poor, your cars. Put it back beside you and trust in me. And I will give you rest. I just touched on something about works. You know, some people think that you can give to charity or you can... may step on some toes, and I pray I don't. But you can be a deacon in the church. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be a preacher. You can stand up here and sing forever. But until you give your life to Jesus Christ, all the works in the world will never save you. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Could you imagine your God? And you give everything you have to bring someone to Christ. And all of a sudden they say, well, I taught your Sunday school class for 30 years. That ought to be enough to get into heaven. No. No. Jesus says, not all who call on my name shall enter in. People, we need to get the word of God out. We need to read our Bible. We need to understand what the Bible says. We need to evangelize the world. Brother Glenn says we have a mission field out there. Some churches have got the mission field on the back pew. Now, I'm not talking about the back pew back there this morning, so don't. But the mission field we have is even in our own families. even in our own neighborhood. St. Francis says, preach every day. Do everything you can. If all else fails, use words. People, we need to get serious about winning the lost. We need to realize that they are going to a sinner's hell. We need to understand that we are the light of the world. We need to shine forth. But I'm going back to salvation again. Ask yourself the question, if I should die in the next minute, and none of us have a guarantee that we'll even draw the next breath, if I should die in the next minute, would I go to heaven and be with God, or would I open my eyes in hell? There's only two destinations. There's only two places you can go to. There's not a purgatory that you can go to and people pay the priest or do enough works to get you out of. I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't back that doctrine up. I will read to you something in a few minutes that will explain it to you. And you preachers probably already know where I'm going to read from. But salvation is so simple. Salvation is so easy to understand, but sometimes it's so hard to get. Why? Because people want to make it more complicated than it really is. My 8-year-old daughter, now if I get emotional, bear with me, because I get blessed every time I think about somebody being saved. My 8-year-old daughter was standing in the pew beside of me one morning, and the preacher was up in the pulpit and he was preaching the word, and all of a sudden I felt a little arm shove me out of the way, and she went up. 8 years old. 8 years old, she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. It is a personal thing. Your mom can't do it for you. Your dad can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You've got to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ died for me, and that I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You notice I put emphasis on mine, because He is a personal Savior of each and every person that has ever been saved. That's how great, how good, how powerful our God is. Please, this morning, understand the second part of the greatest day. And if the second part hadn't have happened, the first part would have meant nothing. And if the first part hadn't have happened, then the second part would have not have meant anything. The first part was that God gave His Son to come into this world. The second part is that God gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary, to be that blood sacrifice that the Old Testament talks about so much. The blood of bulls and goats and so on and so forth was given for the atonement of sin. Jesus Christ had to offer His blood on the cross of Calvary. He had to give Himself to die on that cross. He had to come in the world as a man and suffer the same things that you and I would suffer, that He would understand, and He would be the great priest that He is. Also, He had to die. That sacrifice that the priest offered, it just didn't bleed itself for a while and then get up and walk away. That sacrifice died. It gave its life for the atonement of that person's sin. Jesus Christ had to die. He didn't swoon. He didn't pass out. They never give Him drugs when that vinegar or whatever it was that they give Him, the last drink He had, He was dead. But the most important thing was that he arose the third morning. He got up out of that grave to prove that when he lives, we can live. We can live. Put that up there so I won't knock it off on the floor. Jesus Christ gave himself. He didn't do it under pressure. He didn't do it under duress. He did it because he loves us. You know, you can't understand the true depths and meaning of love until you start realizing what Jesus Christ did. Would you die for someone like Adolf Hitler? Would you die for a child molester? Would you die for a murderer? Jesus Christ did. He died that they can have the opportunity, if they want it, if they so desire, to have eternal salvation. I ask you again, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? You know, I said there was two destinations, two places where people were going to. Some churches, some religion says, well, they go to a halfway house, you might say, and if we can go there and give the priest so much money, he will pray and get that person out of purgatory. Like I said before, that is not in the Bible. There's nowhere in our Bible that supports that. If you return over to Luke chapter 16, I'm going to tell you why and where. I've already told you why you're going to wind up there, but I'm going to tell you where you wind up. It's your choice. You know, God gave us, even in the garden, he didn't say, Adam, you're not eating it. He says, don't eat it, but if you do, if you go against my word, if you do exactly the opposite of what I'm telling you to do, here's what's going to happen. You're going to die. You're going to die. You know, if it would have been the death of the body, that would have been bearable. If the body would die and go out of existence and didn't have anything else, there was no soul, nothing went on, that wouldn't be so bad. Paul says, if we of all men have hope only in this life, then we are of all men most miserable. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple. I don't see her. And fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Now, I'm not saying that the rich will go to hell. And I'm not saying that the poor person, the beggar, will go to heaven. This is just a story, and I believe it's a real story, to illustrate a point. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, you say, well, why would God put that in there? Why would God put the dogs lick the sores? Don't you see it? What does a dog do to heal itself? It licks itself. Animals, when they hurt, they lick themselves. I don't know what is in their spittle, but God even sent the animals to give comfort to this poor man, this beggar man. You say, well, what's that got to do? If he can send a dog to lick someone's sores, he can send you help, peace, and comfort in the time of need. because you are more important than God than that dog. And it came to pass that the beggar died. No, I don't have COVID. I just got bad sinuses. And was carried. Just think about this. The beggar died. What was the next thing that happened? An angel came and carried him. Just think about that. When we die, angels will come and carry us unto Abraham's bosom, which is another term meaning, as I understand it, heaven, to be with Jesus. If I'm wrong, please correct me. The rich man also died and was buried. You see the difference there? You see the difference? The beggar went to heaven and the rich man was buried. It doesn't mention that the poor man ever got buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Do you want to die and go to hell? Do you want to die and go to heaven? You know, God gave us a choice. This thing's dangling on my ears. Driving me nuts. God gave us a choice. He says, accept me and live. Reject me and die. People say, well, if there's a good God, why does he bring all this death and destruction? God says, come unto me. Could you imagine what this world would be like everyone served Jesus Christ? I would love to see that, but we never will. Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, hell's going to be awful. It's going to be a place of eternal punishment. But I believe the worst part of hell and the lake of fire will be in that place, knowing that you're there because of what you didn't accept. Like I said, salvation is free. It don't cost you anything. The price has been paid by Jesus Christ. Please accept him this morning. Look to him and live. And go on, this rich man says, Father Abraham, you know, he even recognized Abraham for who he was. He even knew that he was. He says, Father Abraham, can you just send Lazarus? You know, it's kind of strange that when they were on the earth together, he wouldn't even give him food. But he wanted Lazarus to put his finger in water and bring it down and put on in his tongue. And he also wanted, he says, I have five brothers. Send someone to talk to them about it. And Abraham's answer was, I can't. There's a great gulf fixed that if you try to come from there to here, you can't. And if we try to go from here to there, we can't. The choice is yours this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I beg of you, I plead with you. You don't know when you're going to have to stand in front of him and say, I didn't accept you. I didn't accept a free gift. I have seen babies die. Kathy and I had three of them die before they was ever born. I have a little brother between my brother and I that lived just 3 days. And we got people living now that's over 100. But they will still see death. So please, please, I beg of you, don't put it off. You don't know when will come your time to die. The Bible teaches me that as a tree falls, so shall it lie. If you die in your sins and never accepted Jesus Christ, it's too late. There is no more hope. But if you die in Jesus Christ and you're His, you got all the hope that you could ever imagine. So please, this morning, I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Kurt and let him finish it out. Please, 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 if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please seek Him while He may be found. And whosoever calleth on the name of Jesus shall be saved.